You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space, a monthly podcast of artist talks, panel discussions, and other events.
Tēnā tātou katoa. Nō mai hoki mai ki tēnei kaupapa kōrero o The Physics Room. Nō mai, whakarongo mai, whakatau mai. My name is Abby Kinane and I'm the director of The Physics Room, a contemporary art space dedicated to developing and promoting contemporary art and critical discourse in Aotearoa. Based in central Ōtautahi since 1996, we assist artists with resources and opportunities to enable creative and professional development and work to support the acknowledgement and understanding of contemporary art among New Zealanders. Our goal is to actively seek links between the arts and other areas of cultural production, and to involve art as a contributing voice in wider intellectual, social, and political debate. In this episode of Art, Not Science, we wanted to offer something restorative, reflective, potentially universe-expanding, in acknowledgement of Matariki season here in Aotearoa. We return to three practitioners who we've worked with previously, a collaboration between Balamohan Shingari and Nkosi Nkululeko, and a sound work by artist Rachel Shearer, Ponamu Becoming Crystal, Part 1 from 2018. Balamohan Shingari is a candidate for the PhD in Philosophy at the University of Auckland. Recently, he's worked as a researcher for the Centre for Culture-Centred Approach to Research and Evaluation, CARE, through Massey University, and before that, as a curator at St. Paul Street Gallery, Auckland University of Technology. He is also a singer of Hindustani music. Nkosi Nkululeko is a poet whose work is published in Animally, Test Life Online, Hayden's Fairy Review, Oxford Poetry, The Nation, Poetry Northwest, and more. He is anthologized in the Best American Poetry of 2018, Bettering American Poetry Volume 3, 2019, and Furious Flower, Seeding the Future of African American Poetry, 2019. Nkosi is a poetry, music, and test instructor from Harlem, New York. Balamohan and Nkosi read a piece which is published in Correspondence Issues 2.1 and 2.2. Structured as a series of emails, the exchange tracks a game of online chess, with many tangential topics evolving from the discussion. The exchange occurs in parallel with the game, each move made 2 days, 3 days, 7 days apart, spanning Matariki to Matariki. You can find the text with diagrams of the game in the print issues of our serial correspondence, as well as online in the publications tab at physicsroom.co.nz. Rachel Shearer, who is Pākehā rongowhakaata te aitanga a Mahaki, is a sound artist and sound designer based in Tāmaki Makaurau. She has previously released music on labels including Expressway, Ecstatic Peace, and Family Vineyard. Shearer currently investigates sound as a medium through a range of sonic practices, installations, composing, recording, as well as collaborating as a sound designer or composing for moving image and live performance events. Rachel's seven-channel sound work, Te Huri Wai, which was made in collaboration with Kathy Livermore, was part of an exhibition light enough to read by at the Physics Room this time of year back in 2021, alongside the artists Fiona Connor and Lucy Skaya. Rachel presented this work as part of her thesis, Te Oro o Te Ao, The Resounding of the World. It can be found online, along with Ponamu Becoming Crystal Part 2, Waha, and Ao. I encourage you to listen to them all. Kia ora mai tātou.
Correspondence Game, 2022-23, Karo Khan, Advanced Variation, B12. Balamohan Shingare.
Nkosi Nkululeko.
9th of September 2022, 1:54 p.m. Dear Nkosi, E4, we'd met after your poetry reading at the KGB bar in East Village, April 2019. I was in New York with my partner, Irina. Like you, Irina is a poet, and during our week-long travels, we wanted to attend as many readings as possible. That's how we came to be at the KGB bar, which I later learned was the old haunt for Ukrainian Socialist Party members under McCarthyism. I remember being startled by your poems, especially those about growing up in Harlem set to the vocabularies of chess. They were powerful. If I'm not mistaken, one poem referenced the King's Gambit, games with old men at Harlem, and beheadings of kings. Please, could you share one or two poems with me again? From where we were seated, we could see mothers, aunties, and sisters who'd come to hear you. Afterwards, I asked for a game of chess, so we exchanged usernames. I've not had the luck to meet you in person since. Thank you for agreeing to this game of correspondence chess, dear Nkosi. It'll be our second. Oh, and by initiating our exchange, I'm presuming to play white. There are approximately 53 volcanoes in Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland. Since my family's emigration from Hyderabad, India, in the year 2000, I've lived near one of the city's tallest, Maunga Fo, Mount Eden. I say this because I've always imagined the chessboard as a gentle mountain. The Auckland Chess Centre is located in this neighbourhood, and I trained there with Ewan Green as a preteen. Ewan's first lessons included that classic instruction, control the centre, which I imagined as a piece climbing Maunga Fo. Therefore, E4. I wonder, what things occupy the centre for you these days? To be continued, Balmohan. P.S. You might enjoy the Staflinger Green Esbjerg 1974 game that's posted on Ewan's Wikipedia page here.
September 12, 2022, 4:18. Yo, Balmohan, 1c6. The first move is always the most stressful to think about. It's great to engage in this correspondence with you. And yes, I remember that night like it was both yesterday and exactly 3 years ago. Thanks for enjoying my work. I'm glad it stuck with you. Those images are specifically from one of my first chess poems. I first penned it around 2015, 16, I think. For some reason, I never really referenced my love for the game that often, despite me literally obsessing over both crafts on a daily basis. Have you ever gone through this dilemma? Do you keep your personal passions separate, or have you experimented with combining them in any capacity? Maunga Fo, Mount Eden, sounds absolutely lovely. I definitely have to look up photos at some point. Wow, to have a chess center in that type of setting is a joy. The closest thing to a mountain we have is this long hill in Harlem that I have to walk up and over to get to Riverbank State Park, a place I've been teaching chess to kids for a few years now. What's occupying my center right now has been chess gossip. I don't normally engage in online gossip for this long, but there hasn't been a bigger story recently than about how world champion Magnus Carlsen withdrew from the Singville Cup midway. Many folks are drawing up cheating accusations about this player Hans Niemann, who beat Magnus with the black pieces before he left. Have you heard about this? Sorry for taking this into chess reality TV mode, lol. Other than that, I'm still working through techniques I'm creating for these square poems. I attached two that I really like. Sadly, the poem you referenced earlier is not in my current computer. Thanks for sharing that link on Ewan Green. That notable game was a dope tactical combination. Does he still teach there? How did you even decide to go? I have to hear that story. Best, Nkosi.
14th of September 2022, 6:18 p.m. Nkosi, hey. E4, C6, D4. I know exactly the tension you're describing about combining or keeping passions separate. For me, it's a triangulation between studying philosophy, singing Hindustani music, and working as a writer, curator, accompanying artists. What's curious is that I've found that the broader communities who are deeply involved in each are distinct. They don't hang out in the same places or care about the same things. I think I go between these worlds not only for the love of each discipline, but also because each offers its own social context and constraining affordances. when I feel too embedded in one group to the point of feeling encircled, then I find refuge in the others. Actually, even the world of dogs, as somewhat of a passion, has made inroads into my other interests. I recorded a music video here of Ragapurya Dhanashri at Miola Reef Dog Park with my dog, Mishti Boy. This reef peninsula covered by mangroves was formed when another of the city's volcanoes erupted 28,000 years ago. Here's one more unrelatable mountain anecdote. I know that you're in some way involved in music too. I'd love to know more. What's your instrument? You know, I think I've been able to sustain my passions just as long as I have good company. Is it risky to allow sociality to determine one's crafts, or unavoidable? Actually, your response with C6 brought to mind an old friend at the chess center named Michael. His love for chess was so singular, and his response to E4 was always, without fail, the Karakhan defense. We both joined the center from different local schools where Ewan taught classes for kids, just as you're doing at Riverbank State Park. Anyway, my stint lasted as long as my friendships did. When Michael and others stopped going, I stopped. It's beautiful to read your square poems, especially how, set to the movements of knights and kings, they invite interlocutors who share those names, Etheridge Knight and Francis King. I wonder, would it be fair to extend on the square poem, the knight, in a generative or chance operations sort of way? You know, that avant-garde method, which could perhaps use your board as a database to catalogue our moves. So, set to your poem, our game so far would read, wounds snow, knights imitating, blundered knights. I've also been sucked into chess reality TV, partly thanks to my YouTube algorithms. By the looks of it, still no concrete evidence of cheating. I'd love to know how you got into chess. What is your story? Until soon, Balamohan.
September 22nd, 2022, 2:52. E4, C6, D4, D5. Oh my god, thank you for sharing that video. I'm really intrigued by your vocal variations over the instrument playing only one note, E flat. Under the video, you wrote that it was improvised without accompaniment. Did you add the instrument afterwards, and what is it called? The voice is such a powerful instrument. Your side note regarding the mountain trivia fact was funny, but important. Having an understanding of the earth and how art practically emerges from or around it must be such a fruitful combination. My instrument is piano. I had lessons early on, around 7 to 9 years old, at Harlem School of the Arts. I had fantastic teachers and caught on to music theory pretty quickly, but didn't have an appreciation for practice. It was only at 14 that I regained my passion for it when I visited my father one week, was left alone in the house, and discovered an Errol Garner concert on DVD. It was a pivotal moment to see someone have so much fun with the piano and have such a distinct style. I was rehooked. I first learned how the pieces moved from my mother when I was 3, but only got the chess bug around 12. My brother told me about the U.S. Chess Federation and official tournaments, and since then I played with some family friends, my brothers and father, who was my main opponent. But I studied on my own, playing in St. Nick's Park in Harlem, literally across the street from Harlem School of Arts where I studied piano. It was a big part of my childhood. My father played there sometimes, and I ended up going there almost every day. I couldn't afford to go to many tournaments, but the games stuck with me regardless. I look back and sometimes can't believe how I abruptly dropped my intense chess life when poetry came along. But I think due to my personal circumstances, it was good for me. I had somewhat an unhealthy relationship to my obsessions. Sometimes very basic things can go out the window. I really enjoy how I learn to balance my obsessions. I think I once saw chess, music, and poetry to be their own contained worlds, but there was a huge shift in my life when I realized how sectioning off the things you love make it hard to understand their incredible intersections. I love the different ways you read the square poem. There's so many possibilities with this form. I remember coming across Sri Vedanta Desika, an Indian polymath who apparently also wrote a poem in a similar form using Sanskrit. Just reading his story gave me a lot of confidence that it could be done in the English language too. Here is a small article about it. There's a more in-depth one, but I can't find it in my bookmarks right now. I'll send it another time. I'm really curious about your thoughts on the relationship between the earth and those mountains you seem to know a lot about, and your personal crafts. I'm sure there's a whole other dimension when it comes to having an understanding about nature and letting it simply be one of many entry points to art making. Maybe my short question is, what are you feeling when you sing music like that in a beautiful setting like that? Best, Nkosi.
27th of September, 2022, 9:11 p.m. E4C6, D4D5, E5. It's been a joy to watch Errol Garner on YouTube. You're so right. He looks totally ecstatic while playing the piano. Is jazz the tradition you draw from as a pianist? Thank you, Nkosi. I'm so thrilled by your response to the recording I'd attached. I wonder if you've listened much to Hindustani music. It's sometimes difficult to translate one of its core concepts, raga, but here, too, I find mountains and rivers to be useful metaphors. Technically speaking, a raga is a melodic groundwork for improvisation. Usually it's translated as color, as in to color one's mind, mood, or atmosphere. Maybe let's take the Phrygian as an example to compare raga with modes. In Hindustani music, the Phrygian in its straightforward ascending and descending form is more or less Raga Bhairavi. But raga is a little more complicated because there can be many different raga that use the same scale. For example, omitting the fourth and the sixth whenever ascending the scale, and omitting the fifth whenever descending gives you Raga Bilas Khani Todi. Ascending. Sa re ga pa da sa. Descending. Re ni da ma ga re sa. A typical phrase in Bilas Khani Todi might be Pa da ni da ma ga re sa. Compare this with a phrase in Raga Bhairavi. Sa ga ma pa da pa ma ga sa re sa. Technicalities aside, each raga is distinct in the way each landscape is. Even as Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland is like Istanbul and Seattle situated on an isthmus, it's so distinct because of 100 other characteristics, for example the volcanoes, and its location in a sea of islands. And so, just as Bhairavi and Bilas Khani Todi might both be situated in a scale comparable to the Phrygian, they're so distinct because each of the two prefer to emphasize different notes and registers, different types of intonations and ornaments, different mountains and rivers, etc. To improvise a raga feels to me as if walking someone through a landscape, introducing them to familiar and unfamiliar phrases, places. Anyway, this is a very roundabout way to answer your question. I suppose in the instance of that video, my aim would have been to feel Raga Puriya Dhanashri as a musical landscape within which to dwell. And I chose it as a raga that's usually performed at sunset time. The video is part of a series of experiments that attempt to vernacularize the tradition in Aotearoa, New Zealand, taking into account the complexities and my tenuous belongings as a migrant settler and citizen. Oh, and the E-flat drone is the sound of a tanpura. You'll see a Bluetooth speaker that's sitting in front of me from where that note was being played. New York is such a mythologized city for chess, equally for jazz and poetry. To learn about your games at St. Nick's Park just adds to the picture of it in my mind. How do you experience the city? The idea of your training at Harlem of the Arts and your subsequent post as New York's Youth Poet Laureate makes me think that you've found a lot in the traditions of the city. Have those traditions felt like an inheritance that you've been able to unfold more or less straightforwardly over the years? Or have they been times when challenging socio-political aspects loomed front and center in your practicing of these crafts? Until soon, Balmohan.
October 6, 2022, 505. E4, C6, D4, D5, E5. I'm not a fan of E5. Bishop F5. That's amazing. Thank you so much for that history and the technicality behind the beautiful music. I have a young piano student and we've been going over the different modes recently. I'd love to introduce this to them in some capacity. The mode you've laid out is quite fun experimenting with. Yes, you can say jazz is a heavy influence on me, but since I was a kid, I was quite interested in how musicians blended multiple genres. This album, Classic Meets Cuba, Klatz Brothers and Cuba Percussion, was one of my favorites growing up. Someone like Errol Garner really mixes and matches different genres regularly, so of course he stays being a lighthouse as far as integrating unorthodox ideas with one another. I remember listening to Art Tatum and becoming quite fascinated with his ability to perform certain songs while executing bitonality. Garner, if I'm not mistaken, also used that technique to alter a standard tune into something stranger. For me, it's equivalent to chess, contrapuntals, square poems, by way of creating art on more than one axis, more than one mode. I would very much like to explore Hindustani music. Are there any particular artists you return to? I will also conduct my own research. Yes, plenty of traditions in the various artistic communities in the city. So many to count. I think I've learned a lot from all these spaces where I could convene with writers, artists, performers, etc., of many walks of life. New York is privileged to have so many wonderful people come through to share their work. I've met my favorite art writers and artists and even interacted with them on more than one occasion. It's very possible to take for granted this hub of creatives. The work around me always observes the world as is. The socio-political landscape surrounds everything that I observes. I think it's quite relevant how your handling of the body and the sound within it is constantly in conversation with the earth and space it negotiates sound with. I've felt most alive when I've come to terms with my weaknesses, because more often than not, I have to attempt observing and improving my way of looking at the world. That involves understanding my limitations with language and how it can expand. I love this music dialogue. Sometimes I talk to my students about harmony and chess. It's interesting how every beginner is drawn to using very few pieces, despite having 32 pieces at their disposal. Might that be comparable to how we fall into music? It feels like there's a kind of courage one needs to feel comfortable with experimenting with more than one way of curating a game or song or poem. How did you assess your growth within the realm of voice control? And similarly, Did you ever know what was needed to improve, but decided to go back to a technique you're more comfortable with? I feel like this is a tough wall to break through, no matter how many walls you break through. Best, Nkosi.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
That was Rachel Shearer's work, Ponamu Becoming Crystal, Part 2, from 2018. And before that, Balamahan Shingare and Inkosi Inkulule Kors Conversation published in Correspondence Issues 2.1 and 2.2. I also want to draw attention to our current exhibition, The Air Like a Stone, with Emma Fitz and Rosalind Nashashibi. Next week is your last chance to see this exhibition at the Physics Room. The gallery is open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Tuesdays and Fridays and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. The show closes on Sunday the 30th of July at 4 p.m. After which, we'll be opening two new exhibitions. Te Poku o Te Taniwha, which opens on Friday the 4th of August at our Ototahi location, followed by our annual Te Waipounamu off-site exhibition at the Egantai Gallery in Timaru, in partnership with Blue Oyster Art Project Space on Saturday the 12th of August. More details on both will be announced soon. In publication news, join us in the gallery on Sunday the 30th of July for the launch of Correspondence Issue 2.2. Within its pages, you'll find a new contribution by Millie Godfrey, alongside an extract from Albert Al Rafiti's 2014 doctoral thesis, a selection of stills from Marie Shannon's The Arts and Faxes of 2012, the conclusion of Balamahan Shingare and Inkosi Inkulule Kors Correspondence Chess Game, and part two of Lucy Muir and Ziggy Lever's collaboration. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next month on Friday the 18th of August at 8 p.m. for our next episode of Art Not Science. Take care of yourselves, your whānau, your workmates and studio mates, and take time to look at the night sky if you can too. Manawatia a matariki.
The Physics Room is generously supported by Creative New Zealand, the Christchurch City Council, the Rata Foundation, Three Boys Brewery, Scientech, and the Crater Rim.